My name is Darren Hupke, and this is Pixels and Polygons, part of the Soundstone Network. Hey everybody, welcome to a new episode of Pixels and Polygons. It's the conversational podcast about video games hosted by me, Darren Hupke. If you are new to the show, thanks for giving it a shot and thanks for checking it out. The format's simple. I have a rotating cast of guests who come on. I ask them a single video game related question or prompt and we talk about it. It's short and sweet. It's designed to be easy, quick listens, and it's the perfect podcast in between podcasts. So thanks for checking it out, and hopefully you enjoy the episode. If you've come back and you're a returning listener, thank you for your support. Thanks for continuing to listen to it, and thanks for checking it out. I appreciate you. You can support me and consider doing things to support me by leaving a like or writing a review or sharing a link online. All that helps and goes a long way, and it's much appreciated. I've got other ways you can support over on Patreon at patreon.com/Darren Hupke. For as little as $1 a month, you can also support the show. That will allow you to contribute icebreaker questions that I will ask in future episodes and give you a shout out by name if I select your question. So if you'd like to interact with the show a bit and support me at the same time, consider doing that. Like I said, $1 a month over on my Patreon. Same thing on my Patreon page. You can find the digital storefront for all of my publishing books. Pixels and Polygons is more than just a podcast. I've got my retro game zine issues available for purchase there digitally. I've also got the 32-bit library series of books and books like the Beat 'em Up Volume 1 available over on the Patreon shop for digital consumption. If you want physical, if you want an actual book mailed to you or a zine mailed to you, head over to pixelsandpolygons.net. That is my storefront where you can buy everything direct from me. So again, the 32-bit library books, I've got t-shirts, stickers, other merch, all the issues of Retro Game Zine and the upcoming 2025 annual. Everything that I've got, you can find there. So if you want to support the show, if you want to support me, consider purchasing or checking out any of those projects digitally, physically, or through Patreon. Thanks again for listening to the show, and hopefully you like what you hear and you come back next week. Enjoy the episode after this ad break and stay retro. Bye.
Hello, we are Kirby Conversations, a podcast on Kirby, along with other adjacent subjects like Smash Brothers, HAL Laboratory, and other related Nintendo games.
In each episode, we take an in-depth, well-researched look at a Kirby topic, drawing on our decades of experience playing Kirby games, creating Kirby-related content, and working in and around the video game industry. I'm Sean Douglas. I'm a theater and video game journalist.
And my name's Bridget. I'm an online Kirby commentator and collector.
Our team also includes photographer and Nintendo ambassador Kai, Captain Dangerous Parker, and Gigi, the editor-in-chief of Wick Kirby. Join us for deep dives into Kirby's history, interviews with industry professionals, and even inside looks at Nintendo, as together we explore all things Kirby and HAL Laboratory. You can find Kirby Conversations on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Pixels and Polygons, a conversational podcast about video games. I am Darren Hupke, and I'm with a returning guest, a super friend of the show. I have different titles, apparently. Super friend is a new one. But we've got Luis Aguas-Vivas again with us. Hello, Luis. How are you?
Hey, doing well. Hope you're doing good as well.
Yes. We just shared before recording that you had done a trip. Did you buy any video games on said trip?
I did not. I tried to, but I was not able to get a copy of it. I did get something interesting, which is video game related. I got the soundtrack to Ape Escape. one.
So. Interesting. You tried to, or are you just looking for just a specific thing? You didn't just impulse buy just anything just to have it?
No, it was not impulse buying, which is, it's tough to do when you're, especially when you get to like certain stores, like, but yeah, no impulse buying. I had a list of specific things that I was trying to get, and I did not find any of them, partly too, because I was so busy that I only had really two opportunities to go to try to find what I needed. And if, yeah. And they just didn't have it.
No bummer. Next time, or, you know, when you have more time, that is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, welcome back. We are here to obviously answer a video game question. But before we do that, let's get warmed up. Let's do some this or that questions. How about that? You feel good about that?
Yep.
All right. Let's see. I've been asking this one a lot lately. Unnecessary sequel or remake?
Unnecessary. Is this like just like my favorite unnecessary sequel or remake, or just like a just speak on a?
Yeah, like what would you prefer? Like, you know, if out of your favorite franchises, you know, would you rather there be an unnecessary sequel to, you know, that just to have something new that was unneeded, or a remake of something within the franchise? What would you prefer?
That's a good, man, they both are awful in their own ways, right? But both can be good too. I mean, I guess what's the benefit of it? Like, if the game just hasn't been in circulation for a while, then it's out again and you can have access to it. But man, what's one of those games that comes to mind?
I always think
Enix does a lot of those recently. And so this, I think, with The Last of Us, probably. That's like the big one that comes to mind. It's the Last of Us ones.
They're re-releasing like things that don't necessarily need to be re-released at all because they're still on the same hardware.
What was it, The Last of Us 2? That one was crazy. That was probably the one where I was like, just beyond a shadow of a doubt, we're going way too far on it. And then they added like essentially like a Resident Evil 5 style, you know, like arcade shooting mode.
I didn't know they did there, that.
Which is like kind of destroys like the whole concept of like that game. just like a skill based like shooting element to it. You're just like, oh man, like, yeah, that's one that comes to mind. Last of Us, that's a good game, the first one specifically. So I think that would probably be my choice. It's like, that's one where it's like, it's a good game, it didn't really need to come out again the way that it did, right? Because it's not so much something, it's just like, oh, we're just keeping it in circulation. It's like, no, we're doing these, like, I guess, like polishing up the graphics a bit and then reselling it for the exact same price, if not more. And you're just, yeah,
max price. Okay.
Nintendo's the master of that too, I think about it.
Yeah, and they never, their prices never come down, which is funny. I'm just doing the new 32 library book. We talked about that it's all about greatest hits games, and so like just digging into that formula and that format, like Sony's whole goal for that was like, hey, these are games that sold a certain threshold, let's re-release them and repackage them and make them available for $20, you know, for like new fans and people who are maybe newly getting a console or trying to build their library up or just have something kind of affordable there with a game that is maybe getting a little long in the tooth. And it's smart, you know, it kind of like helps like spark up some sales. But like Nintendo, like they'd have like their player's choice games, I guess. They had a similar, you know, system. But like nowadays, it's no, they release a game at full price. It remains that for a decade. And then after that, it's out of print and now suddenly going up in cost if you wanted to get a physical copy. And there's like nothing you can do about it. It's just like this Nintendo value proposition. It's like nope, our stuff's good and we know it. And so we're going to keep it at this price and you're going to pay it, or you're going to have to pay a lot more of it, you know, down the road. So your choice is yours.
Yeah, that's how they do that. I mean, I just bought the Kirby game for Switch 2, which is actually my first Switch 2 physical release that I bought. So I'm guilty of enabling that stuff.
Yeah, I as well have not purchased a physical Switch 2 game. UFO 50 was the first buy, and that demo of that Adventures of Elliot or whatever, and then I've got a couple other things on there. A Mario Kart came with it digitally, so I've not actually bought a physical game. That's interesting, but I haven't played as much as I've wanted to either. But I blame you for having to buy it. Anywho, this or that. Let's see, this or that. Tekken or Street Fighter?
Street Fighter.
Street Fighter. Yeah, that's the right choice. Eh, there's no wrong choice, I guess. Let's do one more. What was it? Oh, I just lost the one I was going to pick. Oh, short and sweet or epic length?
Short and sweet. I mean, that's at this point in life, I think that's it can't be overstated how good that feels to get something short and sweet.
Yeah, it's the adult choice, you know, like being able to finish a game. It's not as easy anymore, so makes sense.
Yeah, I'm replaying Dragon Quest VI now, and as much as I like that game, you're just like, okay, this is going to take me at least 40 hours, and then you're like, damn, you know, that's 40 hours of just on that, you know, that's not, that I'm not going to spend on anything else, so it's a great 40 hours, but it's a lot. And, you know, and it's not, you're not going to spend it. Yeah, I'm not spending like 8 hour days on that alone. So that's going to take me like 2 to 3 months. So depending how I play it.
Yeah, I just finished not long ago from this recording time anyway, Death Stranding 2, and clocked in like, you know, 60 something hours on that or whatever. But that was, you know, I started playing it day one when the game was released up until like now. So it was, you know, I couldn't necessarily play it each week or anything. It was like randomly I'd be able to come back to it in different chunks when I had playtime and everything. But like all that just added up to being essentially the only game I was playing for close to 2 or 3 months now, essentially. So it's exciting to be done with it. And it was a great game. But now I booted up and started to play. I was going to play. What was I going to play? Oh, that new Ghost of Yotoi game. There's things that I want to try, but instead of playing anything new and big, I was like, you know what, I'm going to play this Sword of the Sea. You know, this will be a little bite size, like jump in, jump out, like get some entertainment out of it and not feel like I'm investing in some hundreds of hours of months long commitment at this point.
Yeah, it feels good to just have that. That's like, I think anything that, I mean, ideally now at this point, like 7 hours or less, to me, that's like,
that's good.
That's it. That's like the best, because within a week I can get that done and then I can like play something else. And especially when you're trying to review something, and you know, and for me, sometimes I end up playing like a game even two times over if I'm like reviewing it. And, you know, obviously the longer the game is, like the less, I feel like even though you spend so much more time with it, I think there's still a lot of like the real, like crunchy, like granular things. Like you don't really get to see them as much when you just do like one playthrough.
Okay. Well, that's the, that's this or that's then. Let's do an icebreaker and then get into the main meat and potatoes of the show. I don't know. I said that again. I always say that just on this show. It's been a while. I feel like I haven't said that phrase, but it keeps coming back whenever I'm recording. But anyway, I like this one too. But what is an option or a setting that you always change before starting a game? Is there something that you'll always like make sure you adjust before you start up a game?
That's a good question. It depends a lot on the game. One thing that comes to mind, I usually go to tech speed.
Mm-hmm.
You should try to get like the max on that, because I just want to read through it really quickly. Sometimes, yeah, like the tech speed can be just like pretty slow and can add a bunch of time to it. Something else to battle speed, if you're talking about like old, talking about Dragon Quest, right? So that's mm-hmm. one of those. At least in the older versions, you don't have battle speed, but you have the tech speed, which kind of speeds up the battle too.
Put it. Yeah. I love language. That HD 2D of what Dragon Quest 3, you know, like being able to increase the battle speed, like lets you get through some of the pacing and monotony of it, and it lets you stay engaged with it, you know, especially as an adult. You know, it's a nice little quality of life thing to let you fix that.
Yeah, I'm really excited for people to play 1 and 2. Those, I think, what they did for 1, it just works so well. And we're talking about a short and sweet game. You know, that's a game you can finish. Even this new one in less than like 10 hours, it's gonna be it's pretty amazing. Language. I mess with the language a bit. I usually try to have at least like the voice acting in Japanese if that's like an option.
Mm.
And then maybe subtitles in English. There's a lot of stuff too. I mean, there can be like brightness. I make use of that. That's usually like the first thing I do.
Hmm.
If that's options available from the beginning, I just go straight to that, to those options, and just try to like, because at this point, you know, we've been playing for so long, we know what we like, you know. Yeah. Specific type of genres. There's nobody's making that, like, nobody's ever played this style of game before, right? So it's like, we know we're gonna play like shooter's gonna be an RPG, it's gonna be a platformer. You know what you're looking for at this point.
Yeah, that's funny, is the brightness and stuff, like now with like HDR games and stuff like that, I used to like try and calibrate that like perfectly. I'd be like, all right, what's the game? Okay, the game wants me to like barely see this, and okay, let me make sure I'm adjusting this. I want to get this just right. But then, you know, when I started playing games that maybe were like darker or, you know, close to being like horror adjacent and stuff like that, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to just notch up the brightness just a little bit more on it. You know, I'll make that really visible instead of barely visible, so I can kind of, you know, eliminate some of the scare factor for me and kind of work the game against itself. But I always remember, you know, trying to stick like as close to those original parameters as I could, and then now realizing like, no, this is my choice. Like I want to be able to see this a little bit better here, and this is my call. So I'm gonna tweak this up a little bit.
Yes, same. At this point, it's like if there's like some artistic intent in the way of the game, how the game should be played, it shouldn't mm-hmm. be an option for you to adjust it. If it's an option to adjust it, I'm going to take advantage of it and play it and see it how I want to.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, there we go. We've shaken off the rust. Our brains are nice and whatever brains are supposed to be. They're massaged and alert, attentive. I don't know what brains are supposed to be, actually.
Mushy neuron juices flowing.
Are the synaptic flashes are happening and firing off as intended? So now that you're ready, I'd like to ask you our main episode topic. So for this episode, I wanted to ask you, what is your favorite gaming adaptation? So whether that's, you know, a favorite like gaming, like movie, book, comic, show, like whatever it is, you know, do you have one that you'd like to share?
There's a few, and I think they're all movies. I'll just give a quick shout out to the Pikmin animated shorts that came out around the release of Pikmin 3 for the Wii U. I think those are really great. They're available on Nintendo's YouTube channel, so I recommend people watching those. Added a lot of personality to those little dudes. But really, there's only one real answer, and everybody knows what that answer is, and that's the Sonic movies with Jim Carrey. There's just just peak camp. Are they good? I don't know. Are they enjoyable? Sometimes. Is the dialogue cringe? Yes, very much so. To the point that you kind of want to stop watching them. But when it works and you're along for the ride, no, it's pretty decent. It's pretty decent for what it is.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things about them. I mean, as far as like being surprised. I think when that first one came out and there was that trailer where he like his look was quite altered, you know, like his eyes were disconnected, you know, from each other in that classic kind of Sonic design. And there was like outrage about like, well, what are they doing, you know, to Sonic? What is this movie? Like, what are they thinking? And they somehow, I don't remember if the movie was delayed or not, but obviously they went back and replaced the Sonic, you know, render with an updated one and everything. But I remember it just being like, the reviews were just like way better than they expected it to be. Like, you know, like much better than it should be. And, you know, it did well. It was successful enough, obviously, to spawn like sequels and TV shows and things. But I don't know that anybody like genuinely expected to have any real entertainment value out of those Sonic movies. But here we are, you know, like three sequels and a TV show or whatever it is at this point. It's kind of insane. Have you seen all of them? I forgot
that there's a TV show. I've just seen the three movies. I haven't seen the... I forgot that there was a... Oh my God, and there's short films too? I'm looking at this right now.
The TV show was the like a Knuckles thing, wasn't it? I think it was on Hulu or something. Yeah, it's just called Knuckles. Yeah.
I'm never going to watch that. But it's...
Idris Elba, isn't he Knuckles?
He is Knuckles. He is. Yeah, it's just a weird. It's a weird thing. The fact that they got Jim Carrey on this. I mean, it saves. It really saves it, though. It really does, because he pulls those movies together. Because honestly, the acting on a lot of these just aren't. It's just not great. I'm just gonna be honest. it's not even so much the actors themselves. I think the script can be pretty bad. At times, just like, oh, you know how they do, like how they Hollywood does like children's movies, where it's like they kind of think kids are idiots, right? So a lot of the dialogue is just based and centered on like these like one-liners, which are very like pop culture of the moment, and it just doesn't work most of the time. But when you have characters like Jim Carrey plays Dr. Robotnik, like a true maniac, like he acts insane, he looks insane, and you kind of forgive all those like really stupid like lines, you know, stated by James Marsden, who plays like Tom. I forget the sheriff's name, the last name of the sheriff that he plays, which is like Jim Carrey does that. And then Jim Carrey's assistant, which is like Agent Stone, played by I'm forgetting his last name as well. Majdab, he's fantastic too. Yeah, there's like some weird like friendship homoerotic thing going on there, which is really funny. And there is one more person that's like really great. And that's Natasha Rothwell, who plays Rachel, who's like a sister of Maddie, who's like one of the people who's like in the household where like Sonic eventually like as like a family, right, becomes part of the family. And Natasha Rothwell, she's great, especially in the second movie where there's like this whole like set piece of her like wedding and everything, marrying like this like special agent. It's so good. It's so freaking good. So, you know, honestly, the best parts about the movie are essentially newer things that they try to add to it, like the stuff that's focused more on like the game, like Sonic is like really fast or like all these other things. They're just like they're fine. But it's when the movie really goes like crazy, and it's like, this is a movie about a freaking blue hedgehog that can travel the speed of sound and all this stuff. It's like, we can just do whatever the hell we want. And they do. And it's good. And it's good when they do that.
Yeah. I mean, the sequel's there. So you've seen all the films then. You would say that they're all worth watching for the same reasons. I mean, to be surprised by how good they are, but also how ridiculous they are.
I think the first one is the worst one. I think two has moments where it's like, oh, this is pretty decent. And three, I think, is the sharpest. It's like the best made one out of all of them. It doesn't have the same highs as the second one, but it's still, I think, it's like more competent.
Okay. Yeah, I still never seen them. I remember my family was visiting my brother once, and I think they were watching my kids while I was at some event or something like that. I don't remember, but I do remember coming back and they were like, oh, they're watching the Sonic movie again. Like, they'd watched it multiple times while there and everything. And I was like, I haven't even seen this thing once. So, you know, my kids are going to be more versed in this Sonic movie than I am. And I should be the video game guy. So I thought it was funny, but we never went back and watched the sequels or anything. So I should bring that up. Maybe do a little movie night and catch up on those. Because, yeah, I mean, as ridiculous as they are, you know, obviously they've have enough entertainment value and charm to allow themselves to continue and have a little fan community, you know, keep them alive. Like, those Sonic fans, you know, they're special. They love what they love, you know. I mean, I remember when at Long Island, at Retro Game Expo, you were playing your fan favorite Sonic Adventure game there, and as you were playing it, and like it was playing like the theme song, some Sonic fan like walked up behind us and was like singing the lyrics to the song like word for word. Like, they're like, the Sonic diehards are Sonic diehards. So like, I think it's why these movies being even close to good is exciting for them, because it just gives them, you know, something extra to cling to hope. Because the Sonic games, hot take, aren't ever really been that great, you know. They're always have more like on paper and the concept you want them to be great, but then in execution, you know, even at best, they're just half entertaining. That's for the hottest take episode there, but yeah, that's been my Sonic experience anyway. I don't want to speak for you.
No, I agree with that. I think though that the movies, I think, have helped Sega and the Sonic team kind of reevaluate what Sonic is as a game. And you're this. I think now we're starting to get to a point that you actually are starting to get truly good, like great Sonic games. It's not like, oh, this one level is like this as proof of concept works. And then everything else, it's like, no, it's because you have like Shadow Generations, which came out as a tie-in to Sonic 3, the movie. That is the best 3D Sonic game that exists. And it's like, and it's a tie-in to the movie. It's just like, you play a Shadow, and I've been playing it on and off, actually, after watching Sonic 3. And I'm like, oh, shit, I get this. And it works. It feels like the speed feels nice. Like, even the slower elements. Because that's always been the make or break of Sonic games. It's like, you have situations where you're going fast, and then you're kind of going too fast, but like the novelty of it is like kind of cool still. It's like, oh my God, you're going so fast. And then the game like slows down and you have to like do like the awkward platforming and all this stuff. And it's just like, man, this sucks. They kind of nailed it with Sonic Generations. And we're talking about Short and Sweet. You know, you can finish that one in like 5 hours. And it's just perfect. It's so goofy. It's like this black like hedgehog that has like, it's essentially like a god tier anime character, but it's like a freaking hedgehog, and he's like trying to say like tough things, and you're just looking, and just, you know, the mind breaks when you encounter something like this. And it's great to see them having fun. You know, they know that this isn't like, I don't know, I mean, there probably are people out there, but like, who in their right mind is gonna like look at that and like take that like seriously? Like, this is like a serious like video game character, you know. Now, I would love to see a mod where it's The Last of Us, but it's all Shadow, though.
The Shadows of Us. It's just an alternate storyline where Shadow's moving through the Pacific Northwest.
No, it's the same. It's the same. It's just like Shadow is... what's the guy's...
Joel.
He's Joel.
Yeah.
It's just like Shadow, you know, Shadow's avatar in that's the place funny. Of Joel. And that's it. That's like the... And you add that to like the second game in the series too. And you will see that game improve just immensely. It will be the greatest piece of media ever created in the history of humanity. Like, the Louvre will throw out, you know, the all those great works, specifically the Mona Lisa, and just put like a TV with a controller where you can like play that, and they'll be like, "This is it. This is peak art." And then civilization can end.
Yep. I mean, that's one person's opinion of this podcast. I don't know that I can endorse that concept, but sure, that's a thought. But all right,
endorse it, Darren. Don't be a coward. Endorse it.
Opt out. The views expressed by my guests do not reflect the views of the host, and all that jazz. But the Sonic movies, you've inspired me. I will have to get a movie night going with the kids here, and I'll have to show it to my family, and we'll need to kind of move through those. I guess it'll be my first exposure, as they've already seen the first one, but let's jump into that. It may be the best piece of Sonic media period, we'll save the rest of that for the hot take episodes. But that's it. We did the thing. We answered the question, and that was another episode of Pixels and Polygons. Luis, anything you want to plug or share? Any recent work or writings or anything that you'd like people to be aware of? This will be your time to share.
Yeah, sure. I have a few things out there. I have a review-ish of Mafia: The Old Country out for Bullet Points Monthly. You can check that out. It's weird. That's what I'm going to say. Not the game. My writing on it is weird. The game's it's pretty good. And I also have an interview that I've done with what I consider a really important writer. His name's Matt Ault. He wrote this book, Pure Invention, How Japan Made the Modern World. So I had the chance to hang out with him at Anime NYC, which was here in New York. And, you know, we talked about anime, just Japan's like soft power, and it's a really good piece. It's out for Unwinnable. I highly recommend Matt's book. And that's it. I have other stuff out there, but those are the two things that I'm right now that I'm like, yeah, you should read these things.
All right. Well, give him a follow on Blue Sky as well. And thanks for coming back on, Luis. We'll have you on a future episode for sure that we'll record immediately after ending this conversation. But thanks for coming back, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Listen to Flashback 64, the chronological Nintendo 64 podcast. Hosts Gooey, McKenna, and friends flashback to the 90s and early 2000s with a look at the Nintendo 64's catalog and its contemporary, cultural, and historical context. Starting with the console's launch titles and proceeding in release order, we discuss classics like GoldenEye, Super Mario 64, and Star Fox 64, as well as some not-so-beloved games, lesser-known titles, and everything in between. Along with game-specific deep dives, we also cover other bits of pop culture from the time, like films, music, and more. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.